Hello, class. working. What are we doing? We're workshopping collage. That's what we are. Of course, here we are. What a exciting week and a great start for everybody, I think. When as I was developing the course, I was really thinking about, and I think I mean I think about this just generally, but how do we, what do we have around us, and what do we maybe take for granted? What do we definitely not take for granted? I mean, I think we probably all have something like that that we're just always enjoying or reaching for, sort of, I don't know, maybe it's, maybe it becomes a like a tropic gesture, or rather a tropic ritual or something. But I don't know, I think it was like a glossy magazine. I don't know, something that's just, that you can't avoid grabbing. And looking at. And of course, I'm thinking about that when we're talking about collage, because I'm thinking about, I'm asking us all to think about how we start thinking in collage. So those things that are close to us, around us, those things that we might not realize. Old bedding that we need to cut up, old underwear. I don't know. I don't know. Having fun with it, but it feels like there's some energy here, and some excitement. I think part of the other thing I was thinking about is just, this is a strange time, the winter session. We were sort of in our 8th or 9th week when shutdowns started happening, and so, I was saying, well, but we're, at least we're well prepared, right? Because we're introverts, typically, not generally speaking, but we're typically introverts, and we're typically pretty good with alone time. And but then, week 5 settles in, or week, I think we're in week 6 in New York, I think, or is it week 5? I forget now. And I think things become even more special in some ways. It's, maybe you start taking less for granted. Maybe you start seeing more. And I think that's what I really want this course to be about, is about us, about our bodies, our beings, our auras, our homes, and everything that we create around ourselves. I think, thinking in collage, I say that when I'm talking with any artist in their medium, thinking in paint, thinking in whatever, thinking in graphite or drawing. Thinking in collage is about layering, about odd, I think often about odd sort of connections or intersections. And I don't know, there feels like in, I don't know if it's just the material or what, but it just feels like there's so much freedom in collage. At least I think I feel really free in collage. And you might not think so, because I feel like that sounds really funny, because I feel like my collages are super tight. But there is a freedom in how they are tightly meditative, and then we would go to the sort of contemplative meditative space of freedom, I guess. I digress. So we start out with some great stuff. Charlie's yellow desk, which is this amazing desk color. I mean, these photos become collage. Jody's stack of, so I've just clicked on the first image. I'm in the online studio. I've clicked on the first image. I'm currently at oldest to newest, so the oldest ones are first. I click on the first image, and if you go down to the bottom left, you can just scroll through all 16 images in this conversation, which I love. Charlie and Jody don't know this, but this is a new feature. So Emma is gonna hopefully be enjoying this quite a bit. This online studio space has just become a lot more user friendly. So this is just really thrilling. Looking at Jody's scraps, those of us who've been fortunate enough to see some of Jody's collages really understand that Jody really knows collage quite well. And yes, I've been preparing my collage lecture, which will be presented to you on Friday. And I was going to include her, but now that she's in the class, I'm not. Sorry, Jody. But if you go to Gallery L's archived website and you go to the Sluice Art Fair of 2015, you will see some amazing collages from Jody. I yelled at her because she took them off her website. Anyway, so I'm just looking through these images. Jody's workspace looks great, looks ripe, and ready for action. And I think I'm now looking. I need to escape this for a minute because I'm looking at Jody's the first three collages come up are Jody's. So we talked about substrate, right? I think I was talking about substrate. These things have to kind of live on something. And Jody, in some cases, is using the wall. In some cases, is just using them. It's like the material itself, right? So in the yellow one here, I feel like in a lot of ways, mostly the wall. Although things are laid on top of each other. So I'm assuming this becomes a freestanding or free object in and of itself. But there's something to the fact that it's just floating on the wall like this, right? There's like I see a single staple, sort of kind of central, a little off to the right from center. But you see these rips, these tears, some of this. I mean, I see maybe a sewn edge or what might be the end of some sort of fabric that on the top left, this beautiful sewn line. Really, it's really activating. It gives some of the rest of the line some real action. And then so sort of forces what happens with the paper collage onto that canvas, that shadow, these lines become active in such a beautiful way. What a fun sort of what a, it just feels playful. It feels maybe a little silly, but not for naught, right? I mean, I think it just feels right. It's silly, playful. I mean, playful is more what I mean, but it could be silly. Silly is not a bad thing. Now the next one she's using the page, right? So this old painting as substrate, right? So then she adds this fabric and glues this fabric to the page. I think this is so effective because you're seeing on the left-hand side, you still see that page, right? So you see that initial substrate or that initial piece on which that canvas or linen, whatever that is sewn on. Again, I think those dyed sort of the fabric tethers or whatever that, what's the word for that? These loose strings just become, again, an active moment. Right there in the center, that line and those little sort of nubbins that are sort of like deeply stained. And then you look right to the right of that, and then the ink sort of spill. It's just so beautiful how there's these repetitions, right? How you can really create rhythm with collage in this way. So now we're dealing with two water mediums, right? But you have water medium on fabric, water medium on paper. And how do those two things, they're so different, but there's a relation here, in this really exciting way. And I think this piece really works because of the left-hand side and how that page was allowed to come through. And then, this orange piece is just the language is just simply like divine. I think it's just there's such a clarity. We have two elements. We have just super precise, super clean. And it's so odd too, right? Because we have this phrase, this sort of discombobulated nature of that bottom substrate, this bottom sort of netting. I think this is like a plastic netting or something. Looks like it comes from like a rice bag or something. But then this like beautiful clear like just this shape, this stroke, this reels, what's the right word? It's just like this insistence of color. And I think it's because it comes, it's sort of insisting on that bottom color, right? The bottom, that the top, really beautiful, translucent, thick color is sort of similar to that bottom space. We know, we're dealing with somebody who knows collage quite well, and who really understands language here. So I think that there's some real beauty here, and I think we all have, a lot to look at here. These three are so rich, and so and there's a poignancy and a clarity to them that are just great. Really well done, Jody. Now, so if I'm going, I'm still just kind of scrolling through from earliest to latest, and I'm now at Charlie's three pieces in her book. I love this, you know, that you're allowing for space, right? You know, I think sometimes we think collage, I don't know if it maybe collage, but I think sometimes we just think when we're confronted with a white page, we have to fill that whole white page, right? I think, you know, I think that way, I think it's often like a young artist or even a young student's like sort of nightmare, is just, you know, confronting that white space. And regardless of how big it is, and this book looks maybe A4, I'm imagining, maybe it's A3, but regardless, I mean, it's still white space that you have to confront. And this really, there's a whimsy to this first one. This is the gray one, with this sort of, there's like a, it's not like what's the word I'm looking for? Totem-like. I mean, you know, I want to go toward like kind of Stonehenge-y, you know, this sort of seriousness and this striking kind of alertness and this clarity. Yes, it has those things, and yes, it does become maybe slightly tomic in a fine way. You know, I think it's exciting that we're using the white page, and that negative space becomes just a very active space. Right, so I think this is a great lesson in how does a white space, how does negative space become active? And again, we have a little bit of repetition here, on the right and on the right-hand side, those two pages that sort of become like reflections of each other. Really, just really beautiful, well done. This sort of, you know, this almost becomes like insect-like in a way, like these wings that are sort of that sort of reflected. Great, great sort of relationship with tearing, with you know, and then you know, tearing versus straight line. You know, I think there's some, you know, this little fold and that little guy sort of most center, but it's top, you know, goes to top left, right a little bit, but that sort of that little the fold is really, really beautiful and really, really meaningful. Likewise, I think so. All of these, I think, are really dealing with negative space in a really well way, really well, in a really good way. I do think that first one is really activating the negative space, I think, the most. This yellow, I mean, bold to use the word in it as well. Great, exciting. I think there's some fun play here as well. I think, you know, potentially playing a little bit more with tear here could be really exciting. Playing a little bit more. You know, yellow now that opposite what looks like might be Dior is exciting. Maybe playing with that even more, right? So, discombobulated language or, you know, like written language, something that you can't quite make out. You know, I think that there could be a little bit more play in that space that would really push this even further. But you know, exciting that the language that the text comes in, and it, you know, it's hard to use text. So I'm glad it's here. And then this the pink mauvey, lots of beautiful fabric, lots of different layers. And what I think, you know, really starts to make this piece really active is the shadows of that bottom fabric piece and how that sort of relates to the darkness of the berries up top, right? So there's like this playful language that really becomes, I think, so much about that sort of shadow, sort of the contrast between light and dark. And I think a real, you know, injection point, or that's not the right term, but like this sort of is it like a point of insertion? Maybe. I mean, that's not right either. But it's like it's this just this the what I'm trying to say is this the square fabric thing with like the little folded bows. Like this. It becomes like it's like fabric, cone, like a ice cream cone sort of, right? And so, there's this the activity is like right there, right? It's sort of it's right in that center, and it sort of unfolds between those two things, right? And you have the top, you know, which becomes ice cream berry like jam stuff, and then the bottom, which becomes sort of like fabric. Maybe it's petal. Maybe it's I don't know what it is. It's organic, regardless. So what's really exciting about this piece, I think, is just that this focal point, right? This point of, I'm going to say the point of insertion. I know that's probably not right. We got to be careful how we say that. But there is just this real moment here that is active, and I think it really has to do. It's really that space. So this is just really well done. I think playing a little bit more with a variety of tears versus cuts, maybe a little bit more of a variety of scale. The first one does a really good job. And actually, the second one is a great job in things sort of being a similar scale, which is actually quite interesting. So, just continuing to challenge those images, and ultimately, being focused and excited about the layers sort of coming together, and as you move them around, what happens with them. So this is, I mean, just a great trial here, really good start. And then we move through some of, I think, what this looks like. This is Emma's studio. That's right. Yep. And then we have her pieces. Emma, if you could potentially upload these a tiny, tiny bit bigger, that would be helpful, because they're really exciting. I just can't fully get in because they're just, I mean, but there's a lot here. There's so much great information, and I'm finding it really hard to totally get in. So if they can be slightly larger, that would be helpful for everyone. This first piece has this beautiful directional beam of yellow sort of sage, and then this sort of viridian that's coming out, coming like down from that like orange sort of land up, and then kind of up to our upper right hand side. Just a really nice level layering of color and like translucency here. There's something really exciting about these images. I think you mentioned that they were printed on card, on like this colored card or something like this. But there's something really nice about this. That's sort of the tones, the gray tones that are coming through these different color blocks. Really, really exciting. And also really exciting that you have this directional, like a clear difference, right? Where you have those back images that have that translucent color, they're really bright, and light is coming through, then these opaque spaces, right? That's sort of especially with that initial central piece kind of beaming out toward the top right, that little sort of purplish lavender top left, and then this beautiful orange. So really continuing to play with these ideas of what you're playing with here is just this translucency and this opacity. Right, this is really effective, really, really effective here. And then in a very opposite, very, very different way is this middle piece, which is just all so dense, so opaque, right? Maybe minus that little tiny top left, which I don't know if that's like masking tape or what that is up top. But this is again, a great exercise in just sort of playing with like just color that has like all very similar in tone. Like if I squint my eyes and I look at this, it really begins to simplify quite a bit, right? And because the things are a very similar tone, which is great. I mean, because you're finding a lot of variety in this space, and I think this what you're playing with here in this one is like, sort of like this framing aspect, right? This orange framing aspect, which is really, I think, really effective and does begin to activate the center. So I think that it's a great tool to use. I think there's not any rips in this one. That doesn't need to be, right? I think this is a perfect example of you don't need it, but begin again, continue to play with that, continue to challenge what each of these things can be. Bring it in and then take it away. I think it's just as good to take it away, and realize it's not necessary. And what I mean by it, anything, a rip, a translucent color, a whatever, something that's not what's in here. But I think this was a really good test because you were playing with a little bit of the opacity in the first one, and then you just go full on, full opacity. I think it's really exciting. And then the third one is again a similar to your first. I think again playing. I think there is a lot of excitement here playing with translucency and opacacity. So I think that really kind of continuing with that, and then as you mentioned, this sort of this perspective, right, and this sort of like sharp, sort of really noticeable perspective. So I wonder how much further you could take that. Can you play with perspective in a way that is maybe a little more of a surprise? I don't know. Is there some type of fine line you could bring into something? Can you play with a little bit more of a mix between the two, the opaque and the translucent, or the sort of the light, you know. Again, I'm using the light as the sort of the tonal sort of printed pieces versus that really opaque that opaque color, which there's a lot here. There's a lot here. I would just continue to challenge what you know, maybe bring even more translucency to it, maybe bring even more opacity to it, maybe slightly bring in a rip or another, even another material potentially. But there's a lot going on here, and I think these are really exciting. So what a great start for everybody. This has been so much fun to see. And I'm really looking forward to our next assignment. And there's going to be a bit of reading next on Friday, tomorrow. And then Friday's presentation. This is great, and the course is going to be over before we know it. I'm also going to include a few images of, I mentioned, you know, maybe, you know, how do you compile your things? How do you sort of, for lack of a better word, archive or file your things for easy use? A grad student at JMU last year had a couple of, I have some images that I'm going to post of things that she did in her studio space. So just as a little bit of inspiration. Great first couple of days, great start, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens. As always, let me know if you have any questions, and see you on the other side. Bye.